This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
That's how fast the world moves. I can't even wait my turn. 8:14, joined by Wilson Alexander, LSU beat writer for The Advocate. How you doing, Wilson? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too, Tommy. I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm all right, sir. Let me talk about your story here about Billy Glasscock and his deal and his role as general manager. Take me through that for people that missed that, please.
Yeah, he signed and agreed to terms on a three-year, $3 million deal to be LSU football's general manager. And, he's now going to be one of the highest-paid GMs in the country. Significant pay bump for him coming over from Ole Miss, where he was making $425,000 this past year. And he's now one of just a handful of general managers who are in that seven-figure threshold. Him, UNC's Michael Lombardi, and reportedly USC's Chad Bowden. Chad Bowden isn't an exactly known figure because USC, being a private school, isn't subject to public records laws, but that he's believed to be in the second seven-figure range as well. And, LSU is Billy Glasscock was, an important one for Lane Kiffin to bring over from Ole Miss. That's his GM for the past 2 years, and it just goes to show too that these GMs are making more and more money these days. It's become a well-paying gig in college sports.
I chuckle to myself because as if it wasn't already complicated enough, USC being a private institution not subject to the public records law. Let's talk about the GM. What does now the GM of a sports program do? He's the football GM, right? Not the athletic director.
Correct. It's just like a GM in the NFL or any other pro sport, really, in that they are the ones who are sort of helping assemble the roster. And it varies from school to school exactly sort of how much influence the GM has. There's like over in Stanford, Andrew Luck, as the GM, was able to fire the head football coach and really make a lot of those sort of decisions. And Billy Glasscock wouldn't be ever firing Lane Kiffin. That's never going to be his call. That would be up to Virge Ausberry, the athletic director, and other higher-ups at LSU. But he is going to be, Billy Glasscock, a key figure in the formation of the roster. So that's going on in the transfer portal right now. He's got a hand in all of that, in identifying talent, scouting, and then making financial decisions and helping figure out, based on how much money LSU has available through rev share and NIL, basically fitting all of this under whatever sort of budget it may have this year, which we don't know the numbers on that.
And that's what I wanted to get to, the financial part of that, because I don't mean to sound stupid here, but given a level of responsibility and the importance of that position, it seems like these guys or women who, I don't know if it's so far a man-only thing, whatever, it seems as though that's kind of underpaid for the responsibility that you have in making sure that all of this stuff comes together. Am I wrong or not?
I don't know. I mean, getting paid $1 million a year sounds pretty good to me.
Well, it's real money. I understand that. I get that. But I'm just saying that this is really, I guess the point I'm trying to make, Wilson, is that this is a pivotal position, right?
Yes, it is. And it has become, over the past decade, critical in college sports. You know, LSU was actually believed to have the first general manager when Austin Thomas was given that title back in 2016. But it's now more and more and more schools. I mean, pretty much every school has one of these. Maybe not every single school, but a lot of them, and a lot of the major schools have one. And it's really an important position to manage, you know, the spending and the and do all the scouting and stuff too. But really, that budgetary piece is what's become so important. And then you kind of are able to take that off of the head coach's plate to an extent, which some of them prefer for them to be able to focus on just coaching ball.
Let's talk about Damon Williams. What's going on with that saga?
Ah, goodness. Yeah, it's, you know, Washington has not agreed to enter his name into the transfer portal and is wanting to enforce his revenue.
Give me the backdrop, if you can, for people. And I shouldn't have phrased it that way, Wilson, because we know about it. Maybe people don't know what we're talking about. Tell me the Damon Williams story.
So he is the quarterback at Washington who said Tuesday night that he intends to enter the transfer portal. However, 4 days earlier, he signed a revenue-sharing agreement with Washington to return for the 2026 season. It was announced by the school, and now he, just a few days later, wants to enter the transfer portal and possibly be LSU's next quarterback. LSU has interest in Damon Williams. He is somebody who was actually at one time committed to Lane Kiffin and his staff at Ole Miss. When he was coming out of high school, he ends up signing with Arizona, then follows his head coach at Arizona to Washington just a few weeks later, and was the starting quarterback there this past season and really played pretty well. And as LSU looks for a starter, maybe it's going to be him, except that he is being Washington is making this complicated because he had signed that agreement. They say that it's legally binding and that they don't intend to release him from his contract, essentially, even though he's not an employee. And so it's getting, it's really sort of, somewhat unprecedented thing in college sports right now. And, especially because of the position that he plays, is Washington going to be able to hold him to that? Are they going to, is he going to have to pay a buyout? You know, they're not entering him into the transfer portal and, he might just have to unenroll at Washington and just enroll somewhere else. There's a lot still to be sort of determined about that situation, but that's kind of where things stand right now.
We got to take a break. I'm glad you said enroll because, you know, at some point these are supposed to be student athletes and you are supposed to be attending the university for which you're being paid to play. And so if you decide, okay, I don't want to go to school here anymore, then you get into the binding part of the contract and blah, 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 blah. Wilson Alexander, our guest. God bless you, man. I don't know how you keep up with all this. LSU beat writer for The Advocate. I would like to, at some point, talk about Damon Williams and what kind of player he is, what kind of quarterback he is, because there is some, you know, some on-field consideration as well as a financial part of it. Wilson Alexander, our guest, LSU beat writer for The Advocate, talking about the mess that is college sports, especially college football. 821 traffic now, WWL. 825, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly back to Wilson Alexander, LSU beat writer for The Advocate. We've already given you the underpinnings of the Damon Williams story, the quarterback out of Washington. What kind of player is he, Wilson?
He's a talented one. This past year, as a in his first season as a starter, he threw for just over 3,000 yards, 25 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. He also ran for 611 yards and 6 touchdowns. And every quarterback that LSU has looked at so far here in the transfer portal as its potential starter, him, Brendan Sorsby, Sam Levitt, have that running ability, that mobility that makes them an ideal fit for the Lane Kiffin, Charlie Weiss.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Offense, and DeMond Williams is the same case. He's not a big guy. He's only 5'11", but he's a pretty good playmaker there. Did some good things at Washington and was able to earn all Big Ten honorable mention recognition this past year, again, as a first-year starter. So you would think that or hope that his development only continues over the course of his career.
5'11", 190, would you go so far as to say, I think Jaden's taller than that, but Jaden Daniels-esque in the way he plays?
Not sure quite yet. Yeah, Jaden Daniels was 6'4".
Yeah.
The way that Jaden runs is a little bit different than I've really seen any quarterback run. It was so smooth. He just seemed to glide, and he was so slippery. There's also one clip comes to mind that I saw of DeMond Williams where he's running, scrambling, picks up a first down, and lowers his shoulder into somebody. It was a lot more physical. Jaden Daniels didn't do that. Mm-hmm. Jaden Daniels doesn't run that way. He gets out of bounds. So I'm not sure if it's really Jaden Daniels-esque. There is that, you know, certainly both being dual-threat quarterbacks, there's that commonality, similarity. But Jaden's running ability is pretty much unlike anything that I have seen at quarterback. That really comes to mind anyhow.
Some players, I'm going to tell you what, man, it's almost like watching a boxer at work, because there's an art to avoiding that hit at the last second and protecting yourself and covering up and so forth. I would think it would be at the best thing for the LSU football program for Ole Miss to lose tonight.
Yeah, it probably would be. Most of the coaches at this point have just stayed at LSU. Those new assistants, but two are still with the Rebels, and that's Kevin Smith and Charlie Weiss Jr. And I think that LSU would probably prefer, Lane Kiffin would prefer for just to have them both in the building full time. Charlie Weiss has been going back and forth and back and forth. The private Jets are getting a workout to get him back in on visits with these top quarterbacks, and for just a PR optics thing, if Ole Miss goes and plays for a national title right after Lane Kiffin left, because he said he had better opportunities to win national championships at LSU, that would just continue to kind of, there's already so much hate between these two right now, but just add to it. And I think LSU would probably prefer Ole Miss not to be playing for a national championship.
And what about players from Ole Miss that might put their name in the hat after, if for whatever reason the season ends for them tonight?
Yeah, good point. You know, Winnie Watkins is a wide receiver that we've heard some maybe to keep an eye on out of there. There are obviously the biggest ones that we thought LSU might go after if they were to enter the portal. Trinidad Chambliss and Keewon Lacy are staying at Ole Miss. They've already resigned. Same thing with their kicker. But there could be some others who aren't as maybe have that star recognition that LSU is interested in.
To be clear, as far as re-signing, that's the same thing that DeMond Williams did with Washington?
Yes, okay. That is.
So write it in pencil.
Who knows if it's binding or not.
That's right. Write it in pencil and put it on a loose piece of paper. Thank you, Wilson. I appreciate your time as always.
Thank you for having me. I'll have a good day.
All right, you too. Wilson Alexander, LSU beat writer for The Advocate. We'll take a break, come back, talk about road rage and highways. 8:30 time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. Louisiana, for the second year in a row, has the worst road rage in the country. Why is that? Brian Wolschen joins us now, professor of civil engineering at LSU, specializing in traffic and roadway engineering. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. It's great to be with you.
It's good to talk to you. Happy New Year. And I'm not driving right now, so I presume you aren't as well?
Actually, I'm in Detroit, Michigan, and it's kind of interesting that Louisiana was number one because, you know, I don't see much difference between any of the other places that I go to around the country. So,
yeah, it's interesting how they go about rating this. A lot of different things go into it. The Consumer Affairs Research Team identified states with the worst road rage by analyzing data on fatal crashes involving careless or reckless driving, violations for dangerous driving, and traffic incidents involving gun violence. Louisiana number one for the second year in a row. Do the conditions of the highways in Louisiana, how do they compare with other states?
You know, that's a great, great question. And it's something, obviously, since I work in the field, I'm very aware of and I look at all the time. You know, there's characteristics about Louisiana roadways that are different than other parts of the country. But by and large, they're pretty uniform and they're pretty similar. Now, there are big differences, I would say, in maybe maintenance and the ability to keep roads in great condition. What I also think maybe that we see in Louisiana a little bit more is, you know, just the amount of congestion and where that congestion occurs. And I think that, you know, that can play into it as well. You know, people get impatient and they do things probably that they might regret later. But in the moment, they forget that they're not the only people on the road.
Yeah, I think sometimes that has a lot to do with it. And I know you're not a psychologist, but I think sometimes people look at things as being personal when in fact it's not. It's just business. It's moving. You know, I'm not trying to get all Zenist here or anything, but it's just about one car moving from this point to the other. There is somebody behind the wheel of that car, et cetera.
Yes.
Is there anything we here in Louisiana could do from a maintenance standpoint to maybe make it easier for drivers, or does it go back to that myopic, it's all about me, I'm the only one having road trouble here, I'm the only one that's having traffic issues, so everybody else look out, they gotta pay. I'm thinking of the Mayhem guy on the Allstate commercial now.
Yeah, well, you know, that latter part of what you said, I think, is a big part of it. So for the older listeners in your audience, there was a bit by Jerry Seinfeld, and he would talk about that there's only really one perfect driver in the world, and that's me. Mm-hmm. And he said, the rest of them are idiots and maniacs. And he said, if you're going slower than me, I think you're an idiot. If you're going faster than me, I think you're a maniac. So, but what happens when we look at driving, and we, even though, you know, we're in engineering and we study engineering, design, and planning, we also look at the human element. So people drive based on the expectations of what they see and what they feel while they're out in the road. And it's our job as planners and engineers to make sure that what we design and what we plan is consistent with their expectations. Now, we've done studies and we look at the differences between male drivers and female drivers and drivers of different ages, and there are definite differences. But what we find that's very common is that people look, just like you describe, people look at driving as a personal experience, and that they need to get from, or each person individually looks at, I need to get from where I'm at to where I need to go as fast as, or as efficient as possible. And that anybody else who's on the road is sort of in my way, or they're an impediment or an obstacle for me doing that. But what people forget is other drivers look at them the exact same way. So I think that, you know, there's things that we can do as far as congestion and reducing, you know, stop and go. And we give people time to make lane changes and decisions. But we are really dependent on how people use our roads and how they think not only about their driving, but the interaction of other driving with other people.
I get a text about synchronization of traffic lights. Talk about the effort that goes into that. And first of all, again, going back to the myopic part of it and the personal part of it, not every light is going to be green. I think if you get into your car, right, Brian, and you presume I'm going to get every green light on the way to where I'm going, maybe you need to lower your expectations a little, because that's not going to happen. If it does, it's nice, and you can text your friends and say, hey, guess what? I got every green light on the way to work. But that's not going to happen for everybody. It can't happen.
Right. Well, two things on that. So, the latter part of what you said kind of makes me chuckle a little bit. It's people get very upset when they're driving and they see things that they don't like, and they'll complain to their friends, or some people will even call, you know, the city or the state and say, look, you need to fix this. But no one really will call up the state or the city and say, hey, I think my commute on the way to work was great this morning. You know, like, you did a fantastic job. I got in, you know, a minute and a half sooner than what I normally do. People don't really think that way. They just, you know, they get upset when things don't go well. Now, in terms of the synchronization, that is infinitely more complex than people realize. So when you look at the timing of traffic signals, it is easy, relatively speaking, to synchronize them for movement in one direction. So you can use what's called an offset, and you can delay the start of the green time based on how long it takes you to get to the downstream signal. The problem is that does not work if the signals are unevenly spaced for the other direction. So what happens is the lights for one direction might work well, but they don't work well in the other direction. It's kind of a one direction type of sequence. Then it's further complicated by cross street traffic. So we also need to do cross street traffic. And we also have a lot of left turners. We have pedestrians. There's a lot of things that happen. So as engineers, a lot of times, as far as synchronization, we try to shoot for that big bullseye in the middle. And we want to move the most people that we can as efficiently as we can, realizing that it's never going to be perfect for everybody. People don't like that, you know.
Let me say,
why can't it be time for me? Go ahead.
That's all right, Brian. It again, going back to the, you know, me. Mm-hmm. You're not the only one out there. There are other drivers, and everybody does have somewhere to go and something to do, et cetera, et cetera. I'll talk about speed limits when we come back. Professor of Civil Engineering at LSU, specializing in traffic and roadway engineering, Brian Molchan is our guest. He had a lot to do with the, the contraflow plan that it seems as though we've gotten away from. 852 Traffic, WWL. 8:57, a half. Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Brian Molchan, a professor of civil engineering at LSU, specializing in traffic and roadway design. Somebody texts in and says, is there any kind of engineering that would stop people from cutting other people off on a Claiborne flyover by the Superdome? No, there is not. But that does bring us to zipper lanes and the way a zipper lane is supposed to work. Right, Brian?
Yes. I love your questions, by the way. And I love,
well, thank you.
I love, yes. And I also love the curiosity of your listeners. So zipper lanes is, again, something else that we evaluated here in Louisiana, and it's in widespread use in Europe. And the way it's really supposed to work is that when you come to we'll call it a lane drop, mm-hmm. or you go from two lanes to one, it's an alternating merge, like a zipper. It's every other car goes. Well, what happens, just by culture, a lot of times people like to be courteous and they like to not be in the open or the lane that's about to close. So they move to the left or move to the right. And then what happens, then you have other people who are more aggressive and they shoot right to the
front.
Well,
wait. Now, aggressive being an objective word there, because
that's correct.
Are they being aggressive or are they merely using the zipper lane as it's designed to work?
You are exactly right. So what I call it is courteous aggression. So you can be aggressive, but aggressive driving can actually help to move traffic more efficiently. So if people use that lane and then they merge the way they're supposed to, it would be more efficient, but nobody really does it that way. So there's the theory and the idea of what we're trying to do. Remember I said there's what we do to set driver expectation, and then there's drivers who use what we give them to do it properly. And that doesn't always match, and that's one of those cases.
You got to come back and talk to us some more, because I think people need to understand the way it's designed and the way it's engineered, so that you're not if you decide to get way over in the left lane early on for whatever reason, and that's where the lane is and the right lane's closed, you can do that, but that doesn't make the other person a jerk for trying to use the zipper lane the way it's designed. Thank you, sir. We'll take a break. Coming back, WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.